Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or stream free next day on the CW app.
You will drain it. Yeah.
Famous.
Welcome to Who Weekly, the podcast where you'll learn everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. I'm Bobby Finger.
I'm Lindsay Weber.
And I'm trying to see if that Josh is like, if you take a sip of water before you record, you won't make the like noise.
Yeah, that now we're just doing.
I don't
on
know
purpose,
that it prevented
so it's
it.
Gonna be
I don't
even
know
louder.
That it prevented it.
There's a lot of mouth noises that happen on podcasts that sometimes you just like can't avoid.
Who was mouth noises? Who was the pop star who's
Selena
mouth
Gomez.
Noises? Selena Gomez.
She's a lot of mouth noises. Not the right types of mouth noises.
I was at karaoke and I had like a very strange experience. I was at karaoke on Friday. Remember I sent you the picture of me doing The Greatest by Lana Del Rey at karaoke. Oof. And I was like, this was the worst decision I've ever made.
Yeah, you gotta be by yourself. That's a good thing to test out on your own. The culture is lit, and if this is it,
I had a ball. The culture is lit, and if this is it, I did not have a ball. I was looking through the music, and they had, and they had, "Lose You to Love Me" by Selena Gomez.
Yeah, yeah.
I was like, ugh, who would do that? And then in the back of my mind, I was like,
you
I would
it.
Love to do. No, I was like, I would love to do. Look at her now. If they have Look at Her Now, that'd be kind of fun to go like. They didn't
but
have
that
it.
That song came and went.
They didn't have it. So did
Lose
the
you to
album.
Love Me was the hit, I think.
So did the album. Who's listening to Rare in February 2020?
I think people are. An unnamed source told me they're still listening to Rare and Manic. That's the Halsey album.
I saw someone on Twitter this morning. Who was it? Larry Fitzmaurice. I'm going to call him out. And he said, Ashley by Halsey is one of my favorite songs of the year. I haven't listened to it. Should I listen to it?
I trust Larry for the most part. My
Have you listened
song
to it?
Right now. No, I'm really into that Sam Hunt song.
Oh, I love that song.
It's like really
I sent it to Lindsay and I was like, listen to it. I didn't provide commentary. She was like, is this bad or good? And I was like, just listen to it.
And
then she
like,
quickly realized it's good.
It's so good. The
pun is
so
hot. What is the pun?
What is the pun?
All the country songs, they have puns. It's like hard to forget.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of wordplay. It's a country song. There's a lot of wordplay, and there's like a very cool sampling of an older country song that kind of gets like flipped and reversed. It's good. Love that guy.
You've got a cold heart and the cold hard truth. I got a bottle of whiskey, but I got no proof that you showed up tonight in that dress just to mess with my head. So much for so long, out of sight, out of mind. Girl, you're looking so good. It's driving me out of mine.
Oh,
you're breaking my heart, baby. You're playing hard to forget. Instead of hard to get, hard to forget.
I get it. It's good.
I played it for Josh on Friday, and he was like, what is this? You have to be in a certain headspace to appreciate Sam Hunt's wordplay. You've got a cold heart and cold hard truth. I got a bottle of whiskey, but I got no proof that you showed up tonight. And that dress just a mess in my head. So much for so long, out of sight, out of mind. Girl, you're looking so good, it's driving me out of mind. Oh, you're breaking my heart, baby, you're playing hard to forget.
It's
and
just
sort of like nouveau alt-pop country.
Right.
That's like, but also like nouveau pop deranged country is sort of what it is.
Right.
Like it's country that's wasted.
It's definitely a genre that won't last. Like it's not, his music is the opposite of timeless, even though its entire. Oh.
Did the dog do something?
Yeah, it slammed itself against the crate.
Lindsay's fostering a dog.
Excuse me, can you? Not right now. I'm busy.
More on the dog in the Patreon episode. You can all sign up at patreon.com/weekly. No.
The point is that
Sam Hunt,
though trying to wrap in timeless country music into his music, makes it not timeless. Like, it's it's kind of amazing.
I'll listen to Golden Hour in 2035 and be like, ugh. Still amazing. I will listen to Sam Hunt in 2 weeks and be like, ugh.
February
2020, what a different time.
Right, but now I'll listen to it on repeat. For now, yes. Currently in the current day and age, I'll remember. Let's sure. Can we play? We're gonna move some on.
So welcome to
calls.
The weekly Who's There, our weekly call-in show where we take your questions, comments, concerns at 619 Who Them. We have quite a few calls today. Let's just get right into it. God, I feel like Rachel Maddow every day. She's like, we got a big show today. It's like, yeah, we know. You always have a fucking big show.
You're like love hate for Rachel Maddow is just going to get so much worse as the election season approaches.
I had to turn off. It's I can't look at the television anymore unless Golden Girls or Homeland is on.
I know.
This has been a remarkable news day. There's a lot to get to tonight. So let's just jump right in.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Medium time, long time. I'm calling about the Oscar gift bags. And I just wanted to be noted, I'm in an income tax class this semester, and those bags are taxable income. So they might be getting some for free, but they still technically have to pay the value. And so maybe that's why you don't want to give it to anyone but like the top people, because Brad Pitt doesn't care if he has like $200,000 more of income, but some like sound mixer might not want to give up that money for a vape pen. Although they can like donate the bag to charity and then they get to write it off. So just wanted to add that. Women don't belong in balloons.
I'm just like nodding as if I understand taxes. As like even with this explanation, I'm like, that makes sense, but I don't no, I still don't know what a write-off is.
No. But my so first I was thinking like they want the press of the celebrity using the product if they just have a product in their hand they got for free. But now it's just they just want the press of the bag itself written up. Oh, look at this bag. It has XYZ in it.
Written up everywhere.
Right. So everywhere. It doesn't even – so now I'm like – the celebrity doesn't even need to come into contact with this bag. They could just say, you know what? I don't want to see this bag. Give the bag to charity. Give the bag away. Put the bag on the street.
I don't want to see this bag.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I don't want to see this bag.
Hi, first time, medium time. I just heard your comparison of Nicole Scherzinger to the one leading the group in a group project in school. And I feel like she's more of the Regina George because Melody Thornton was the one who brought all the vocals, but no one even knew. And there's been rumors, and I think they're pretty confirmed, that Nicole Scherzinger hated Melody Thornton, basically caused her to quit, along with Carmeet. So I think we should look into it and maybe give Melody more credit for, I think, leading the group to that B-plus average. Because without her, their songs would have definitely sucked. And you can even see her upstaging Nicole in so many things, including the AMAs in 2006, which was crazy. All right, bye.
This clip actually was sort of viral back in the day, and it was when Melody stole Nicole's solo, and then there's like clips of Nicole like glaring at Melody while she's singing. So let's listen.
Oh God, buttons.
These outfits have aged worse than Sam Hunt's music. Oh my God. That is hellish what they're wearing.
I'm telling you. Pussycat Dolls is another. It's just, it's of the time. It's a time capsule.
It's like, what if in the universe of Blade Runner, there were like a show called The Flintstones? It would look like this.
Right. Right. And everyone would go, wow, that was a time. And it would make sense to everyone because that would feel like the time, you know?
Okay. Next call.
Hey, Lindsay and Bobby. Long time. I just wanted to call. I had to pause today's episode because your theory about, you know, finding people that agree to your basic theory and saying like, oh, people are saying on Twitter, that is 100% real. I've worked at E, I've worked at Clever, and we have done that several times, like a lot, actually. And sometimes we even make fake Twitter accounts if we don't see the opinion that we want conveyed in our story and tweet them ourselves. I'm sure you know all of this. I had to get it off my chest. Okay, love you guys. Crunch, crunch.
Woo! Woo! Bobby yelled.
We did not edit them out saying, do not play this call. They did not say, do not play this call. We would not have played this call. This is the kind of call that we usually get where they say, don't play this call, but okay, that didn't happen here.
Don't draw attention to the fact that it's a scandalous call.
Create Twitter accounts?
That's a lot. Me creating a Twitter account, normal person 444. Nicole Scherzinger is the most talented pussycat doll.
I feel.
And Pussycat Doll's comeback single React is a smash. Published.
People are saying Pussycat Doll's React is a smash. I feel this call makes me feel like I am at Marion Cotillard's house and I've had 3 glasses of wine and she just convinced me that the moon landing didn't happen. Like
she's like no one could have landed on the moon. It's the moon. Look at it.
We did not have the technology to get through the radiation belt. No. They would have been fried to a crisp.
I have a YouTube video I'd like you to watch before dinner.
Okay. Oh, my God.
Okay.
What a great call. Okay. This call.
Hi, Who Weekly. So I was listening to the podcast about the Laura Linney, Laura Dern confusion, and I have the exact same issue with Holly Hunter and Helen Hunt. And I can never remember which one of them is in which thing and which one is which. And then I also get them confused with the Lauras because they're all sort of like thin white women in their 40s. So yeah, just again, contributing to the overall confusion. I wonder if you could rank the 4 of them from most hooey to most themmy. So that's Laura Dern, Laura Linney, Holly Hunter, Helen Hunt. Okay, whatever. Crunch. Bye.
I do love the idea of having a very specific niche dyslexia that's just mixing up Holly Hunter, Helen Hunt. You're like, you know, I've struggled with this my whole life. Ever since that I was a little kid, I've just worked to go beyond it. And I've just learned to really live with it, you know. I can't tell the difference between Holly Hunter and Helen Hunt. Oh my God.
Just recently, I was at a dinner party at Marion Cotillard's house, and I said that I loved Helen Hunt in The Piano, and she kicked me out. Okay, how would
you
I?
You gotta stop
them?
Going over to Marion Cotillard's house.
She has the best wine. She has the best wine.
Okay.
No food. There's never any food.
No
but
food.
There's,
great.
But
wine.
There's really good wine. Okay. Great tables. Great lighting.
I don't want to rank
who to them.
Them.
From who to them, I think number one is obviously just because she's in the conversation around Laura Dern. And I think below that is probably Holly.
Helen Hunt.
Helen Hunt. It's probably Laura Dern, Helen Hunt. From them to who? Laura Dern, Helen Hunt, Holly Hunter.
Laura Linney is
Laura
last?
Linney.
Okay. Holly Hunter and Laura Linney are like neck and neck, though.
Yeah. No, I think...
They came in third neck and neck.
To me, like, yeah. God, because this isn't about my favorites, because I would even put Holly Hunter above Laura Dern in my favorites list, but...
I know. But we're not asked to do your favorites.
I think broadly, you would go, yeah, Laura Linney, then Helen Hunt, then Holly Hunter, then Laura Linney.
Okay, yeah.
Okay, that works, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like the energy was sucked out of this episode. Yeah,
I'm
yeah,
sorry,
that's fine.
No, I just heard the dog jump from the couch to the coffee table. Yeah, it's
here's
fine.
The thing about pets that you're gonna learn: they love the coffee table. They love being
I'm
on
like,
the
get
coffee
off
table.
The coffee table.
Okay, questions. Here we go.
Hi, it's Gwen. I have a question about Madonna and Kabbalah. Is she still practicing? Remember when that was a big thing? Like, everyone was going to do Kabbalah and had, like, the little red string or whatever. Like, I know Madonna's a them, but Kabbalah who? I'll take my answer off the line. Thanks so much.
I had also forgotten the whole Kabbalah thing. And I think it's because when this was happening, I wasn't willing to dig into it as obviously I am now because it's part of my life's work. But did you know that the Kabbalah thing was really based off one guy and not had really nothing to do with like actually Kabbalah?
One guy as in that rabbi?
Yeah, well, because they call
yeah, Rabbi Berg.
Like, it's essentially celebrities. It was one very, very... vivacious and what's the word I'm trying to say now? Like a cult, a
magnetic,
cult leader type.
Magnetic, yeah, like a Jim Jones, yeah.
A very magnetic guy. This guy named Philip Berg, who was a Brooklyn-born New York life insurance agent, whose first wife happened to be the niece of a famous Kabbalist named Rabbi Yehuda Brandwein. Basically, what happened is he had 8 children with his wife, but then after the rabbi died, he left his wife for his secretary, Karen, and Karen and Philip Berg launched essentially this like sect of Kabbalism that was directly aimed at celebrities, or at least once it got picked up by Madonna, kind of pivoted itself to be for celebrities. And then it just basically became one of those like pay to play things where you would have to give like 10% of your income to ascend to the next level. Very yeah. Scientology-ish.
It got really expensive, and they were like misappropriating the money. There's a good piece on Vice that answers your question.
Yeah, totally.
Fully. It's called Why Celebrities Stop Following Kabbalah. It was published in 2017 by Emily Marte.
Very conclusive. I mean, I just forgot that it was more about the Kabbalah Center and less about Kabbalah in general.
Yeah. What was that book that was also, it's a good book. What was it called? And they made it into the movie that was really good too, actually. That was, Season. Did you ever read Bee Season?
Yeah.
That was also very like Kabbalah centric, and it was kind of like early 2000s too. Mm-hmm. So it was like Kabbalah was in the zeitgeist. But this line here, although it takes some a lifetime to fully study and understand Kabbalah, Rabbi Philip Berg founded the Kabbalah Center to make its teaching available to all. A former insurance salesman, Berg discovered the teachings of the Kabbalah on a trip to Israel and began teaching classes out of his insurance office with his second wife, Karen, his former secretary. The Bergs hoped to make Kabbalah accessible to groups. So it literally is like goes to Israel once.
Goes to Israel once.
I was like, I have an idea.
Right.
You know how celebrities are stupid and have a lot of money? But they also feel very unfulfilled in the spiritual sense. How about we take advantage of that just like several people have before us?
Right. And Kabbalah itself is essentially like a set of books. Like it is a part of, it's within the tree of Judaism, but it is mostly just like reading a specific type of set of books that are mostly like Jewish mysticism and different types of characters that aren't really in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. you know, the mm-hmm. Torah or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's just very... It's one of those things that this person kind of took and ran with, and that and his own magnetism and his own everything, the commodification of it all, the red bracelets, getting, you know, the Madonna influence, got this to grow bigger than it maybe should have had, and mm-hmm. definitely wouldn't have if it was just run by like a normal rabbi, you know.
Mm-hmm. If you read the story, like it gets really dark. People claim that the Bergs like sexually assaulted someone, attempted to drug someone.
Yeah.
Sorry, Madonna attempted to sexually assault someone.
Madonna started a Malawi charity organization with them, mm-hmm. and then they stole all the money, essentially, and it shut down. Like, seriously, yeah.
A lot of money, tax fraud, and then this line, it says, according to the LA Times, the Kabbalah Center was accused of taking more than $600,000 from a widow with dementia. So that they could give it to the center. So it's like, that's why celebrities fell off Kabbalah, because it was not a good look. You know,
right.
It was not
it's like for
look.
The same reasons they got onto Kabbalah, they fell off Kabbalah, because it's mm-hmm. like the same person who would, you know, kind of have enough energy to get a celebrity involved in something like that and take their money is the same person who eventually got like, you know, a bad reputation enough for them to be like, oh, I can't be involved with this anymore. This is bad.
It's funny. I was just in addition to this story, I was just like kind of doing my favorite Google search to do, which is like Googling within a window. So it's like where you search, I'll search like for results between 2000 and 2001, then 2001 to 2002. And then you just like keep changing it and see where things change. And it was like Kabbalah stopped appearing, you know, People and Us Weekly around 2011, 2013. The moment Madonna was out, everyone was out. I think the last time Kabbalah has been mentioned on like People or Us Weekly was in 2016 in the lead up to the election, because Marla Maples had like mentioned the Kabbalah Center in some respect, but like it was written about all the time with the red string that they always wore, you know, which is still for sale, by the way. It's
$26.
Like everyone wore the red string to ward off the evil eye, and it was like a fashion statement. You didn't really have to, I don't know, it was more of a fashion statement than it was like a display of alignment with Kabbalah.
It's kind of funny to read the list of, so it's the Wikipedia, and obviously Wikipedia is up for debate, it says celebrity followers include Ashton Kutcher, Mila Kunis, Demi Moore, James Vanderbeek, Marla Maples, Madonna, Ariana Grande, Frankie Grande, and more, according to social media, etc. Celebrities that have been associated with the center include. So this is like the people who said they followed it versus the people who just had shown up to the – who gone or worn the bracelet or whatever include Britney Spears, Roseanne Barr, Sandra Bernhardt, Anthony Kiedis, Mick Jagger, Jerry Hall, Lucy Liu, Alex Rodriguez, Rosie O'Donnell, Naomi Campbell, Donna Karan, Elizabeth Taylor, Paris Hilton, Nicole Richie, Kyle Richards, Heather McComb, and Lindsay Lohan.
There's
your cross-section. That's like enough star power and the right types of people to make a splash, truly.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Okay, next call. God, like, true throwback. Hadn't thought about Kabbalah in such a long time.
Me neither. I'm, like, glad to have looked it up again, though, because there's so many details that I forgot. It's not...
And I never read that story either, so...
Yeah, it was basically, like, a guy who used Kabbalah to create kind of a cult of celebrity in a weird way, you know?
Why is Kristen Cavallari at the Oscars?
Okay, we have two of these calls. Let's start with Kristen Cavallari. I think we talked about this last year, the way the Oscar invites work. I mean, I think this is, it definitely gets more complicated than this, but like the easy way to say it is like first tier nominees. The nominees all get invites. I think they all get two pairs. So they get four tickets, basically. Them and then three extras. They can use them or they can't. I don't think you can even sell them because I think it's associated with you. So it's like you tell them how many you're going to use of the four you've been given. Then they have how many they have. Then they use the leftovers, and those go to, like, I'm quoting, what is this from, the LA Times? It says, after the nominees, which account for about 800 tickets, it says blocks are reserved for the show's broadcast network, ABC, so ABC can give out to whoever they want. The telecast sponsors, the production team, the accountants, the legal team, media, including the LA Times, they say, museum donors, dignitaries, and then, like, local, like, LA government people, like it says the mayor, and then studios get them. So... That's its own thing. So I think what we're talking about here is studios. It's like Warner, Disney, Fox, all of them get a certain number of tickets each year. And what's weird is that like it's kind of unpredictable how many each studio will get. And I don't understand how this works. This is definitely like wheeling and dealing sort of thing. NBC Universal owns E. If Universal has some tickets to give, they're going to have to make decisions who these tickets go to. Kristen Cavallari, the reason she's there, I guess, is because she worked for E! Under the NBC Universal umbrella for a really long time doing Oscars red carpet.
No, she did. She did red carpet. She did red carpet coverage.
Oh, she did it again? Oh, I didn't think she did it again.
Like, but it was at like 2 o'clock. She did like the early shift. I swear to God, she was definitely on TV.
I didn't even see that she did the red carpet coverage.
Yeah, she definitely did some sort of coverage. I saw her on some sort of panel, unless she was just like sitting in.
She may have just been sitting there because I don't know that she was there in official capacity.
Yeah, no, that's 100% why. More people were asking about this other person who
I'll play both calls.
Why was Blac Chyna at the Oscars? Thanks. Crunch.
Not to give Blac Chyna all that much credit or, you know, be on team Blac Chyna, although why not? People are being very rude to her and wondering why she was there. It was,
there were a lot of, I'm just saying, there are a lot of people there that you would be like, why is this person there? They just didn't get photographed and Blac Chyna always gets photographed.
Yeah. Like, to single out Blac Chyna for your line of questioning says a lot about you. But the reason Blac Chyna was there was because she was someone's plus one.
Also, let's be fair. Blac Chyna does not create music. Blac Chyna is always at the Grammys. Blac Chyna does not create TV. I'm sure Blac Chyna would love to go to the Emmys. Like, it is not Blac Chyna, if anything, she is the queen of showing up wherever the fuck she wants, you know, because of the people that she knows. And like, if she wants to go to a party, she's going to a party. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people don't go to the Oscars, not because they can't get tickets, because they don't fucking want to. And the parties are more fun. And you can easily just go to any party you want if you're famous. Like, that's not a problem, right? That's easy. You also will get your picture taken. So it's
Exactly.
You don't need to go to the Oscars to get your picture taken. Yeah. Exactly.
She didn't even have to go into the ceremony. She could have used her ticket to get her picture taken and been like, I'm going home.
Exactly.
Cut the cameras, dead ass.
Yeah.
She.
the best part were people taking photos of her on the Oscars red carpet and putting cut the cameras, dead ass. I mean, she really is one of our greatest filmmakers. Cut the cameras, dead ass.
Yeah. Yeah, so this guy, he wasn't nominated. He wasn't nominated for any Oscars, but he had an official invite. His name is Christopher Trujillo. Friends.
It's like, if people are wondering why Blac Chyna was there, I'm wondering why this guy was here. You know?
Yeah, he's like a major music producer. Like, he produces for like Ariana Grande.
He's a studio engineer.
As we were saying before, all of these studios had their certain number they could give out, and he received one of them for whatever reason, because we couldn't even begin to speculate the politics that go into this. But like the LA Times writes, it's like people are begging for these, so you have to assume that the people who get them have good relationships with the people who are in charge of divvying them out. So it's like, but once you get the invite, you can take whoever the fuck you want, even if that friend is Blac Chyna. So Blac Chyna was like, hey, PS, she's not pregnant.
Oh, she like posted an Instagram of an ultrasound and said like grateful 2020 and then deleted it. Everybody was like, what the fuck? And then it turns out she's not pregnant. It was just kind of a little stunty moment.
I love this E! News headline so much. The one that I texted you yesterday. Blac Chyna not pregnant despite posting and deleting sonogram.
God, that's amazing.
Despite.
That's amazing.
Okay, so she's not pregnant, but she went to the Oscars and she looked great. Next call.
I don't know if this is interesting or just like too teen or too... New York, but is Snail Mail dating Amandla, that girl from Hunger Games? No, I forget what she's from. Amandla, whatever. Okay, Crunch Crunch.
It's
like, can't even ask your question.
This is such a niche relationship that to know that they're dating and you don't know Amandla's last name is so funny to me, because if you know that these two are dating, like, you know everything about them, right?
So yes, Snail Mail is dating Amandla Stenberg.
Snail Mail is, what is her real name?
Snail Mail's real name is Lindsay Jordan, spelled your way.
Whoa. Her name is Lindsay, and Snail Mail is her band. Like, that's her music name.
So Snail Mail is like three people. They're like three musician. People in it.
Yeah. Oh, okay, got it. But why are we just calling her Snail Mail?
Because I don't really know. I don't know. I think we're calling her Snail Mail because it's funny to call her Snail Mail. And
Snail
she created
is dating
Snail Mail.
Amanda Sternberg is like spinning two
Amandla.
Wheels. Like it, Amandla Stenberg.
They are an actor who was in Yes, You Are Right, The Hunger Games.
The Hunger Games.
Yeah. They were Rue in The Hunger Games, iconically.
Right, iconically.
And the star of The Hate U Give, which is, I think, their biggest thing so far.
That was a big thing, although it didn't get as much attention as I think.
It's a good movie.
It was pretty good. And a good book, too. Mm-hmm.
I never read the book, but that's a good movie.
So Snail Mail is dating Amandla Stenberg.
This is just, I almost want to just like cut the cameras.
Cut the cameras dead
ass. It's like, Amandla, really cool for Gen Z. Snail Mail, extremely cool for Gen Z. They're dating. How do we know this? Because they posted on Instagram where they're like kissy kissy in a photo booth, and it's like, and they're leaving kissy kissy little comments. What is it? Snail Mail. Snail Mail is just too much. Snail Mail. Also, I tried to find out why they call their band Snail Mail. I couldn't find like a here's why.
No, I
Snail
see
Mail.
What you did. You searched Snail Mail. You got video game on Wikipedia. Then you searched mail. Then you. Wait.
No, it's just when you try to find out about Snail Mail on Wikipedia, you get three options. One, Snail Mail video game, and then mail redirected from Snail Mail, and then Snail Mail musician. If you type in Snail Mail on Wikipedia, you will probably just get redirected to straight up mail.
Okay.
And then you have to go to the disambiguation to get to Snail Mail musician.
Right.
What am I saying? So Snail Mail comments, Kith, Kith. And then puts a little snail emoji. Lucky for Snail Mail, there is a snail emoji. And then Amandla comments back, Leonard.
I don't get it.
With a little smiley face.
That's just like for them. That's their thing.
Yes. And then when you Google, is Snail Mail dating Amandla Stenberg, only one website in the whole internet.
That's what I'm obsessed with, because I Googled to confirm this person's question, assuming if one person's calling about it, at least a few people have talked about it. It's one website. And
well,
two tweets.
You
tops.
Would only know this if you follow Snail Mail on Instagram, which a lot of people do, or if you read this one website. And I'm serious, only as of recording, one website in the whole big, great, wonderful internet. commented on this, and it's a message board, and someone's like, is snail mail dating Amanda Stenberg? And then the comments on the message board include, who? And then another one, she used to live 5 minutes away from me, LMAO. And then, who and who?
I love snail mail. Hunger what? That's hot. Cheap Queen by King Princess out now. Okay, this message board is toxic.
Snail mail tweeted, what are the pretty good Amanda Stenberg accounts? I really like Amanda facts.
That's funny.
Okay, that's so they're funny. Dating, whatever.
Oh, Amanda also dated King Princess from early 2008 to late 2008.
I put this in here, a classic Gen Z, because snail mail loves Euphoria.
Yeah.
Which is like, oh, that's interesting. That's nice to know that young people actually do like it, you know?
Me. Like, it's not how just one of those things that... Googling, how old is snail mail?
They're like, mail was invented in like... the
how mail, old is she's mail?
She's 20. She's okay. Literally 20. Yikes.
She's 20 and how... Hold on. How old
Amanda's
is
21,
mail?
I believe.
Mail,
how old is mail?
Mail? Whoa, mail's a lot older. Mail is older.
The U.S. Postal Service was invented in 1775, but mail... broadly
yeah, mail was initiated by the Han dynasty in 206 BCE, so mail is slightly is not Gen Z. Mail is like gen before gen, like pre-gen.
So snail mail was invented by the Han dynasty?
No, just mail.
Oh, mail.
But it was snail mail because it was really slow.
Who Weekly is sponsored by Squarespace. We love Squarespace. We use Squarespace to advertise our show, to advertise our tour, to sell merch, to post great press that we get, to communicate with our listeners because there's an easy contact form. If we didn't have a Squarespace, your brand experience with Who Weekly would be considerably worse.
Considerably worse. Are you kidding? If I can't update, if I can't... Actually, you know what? Speaking of, I just realized the tour dates are still up. I got to take them off. The tour is over. Got to prepare for the next one. And you know what? I can do that in about 5 seconds. It will be so easy for me to do that.
Thank God their interface is intuitive and easy to use because we can make changes to our website very quickly and not stress out about it. We've used Squarespace for about as long as our podcast has existed. Can't imagine our website living anywhere else. And if you're intrigued, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch your amazing website, go to squarespace.com/who to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Looking for an apartment sucks wherever you live. People in New York will say, oh, it's so hard to find an apartment here. It's hard to find an apartment anywhere. It stinks. You have your mandatories. You have the things that you won't compromise on. You have the things that you don't care about. Like, let's say, oh, dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I need a dishwasher. I can't live without dishwasher. A dishwasher. I don't care if I don't have a washer and dryer. Some people feel the exact opposite. Some people don't need any amenities. Some people need an elevator. Some people don't.
That's so beautiful. We all need different things. And that's why Apartments.com has an app where you can literally use it to tell it what you need and what you don't need. And it tells you, oh, apartments. Here's some.
So instead of looking through every single rental listing you possibly can in the neighborhoods you want, you set and forget, like in that old rotisserie grill ad, you set and forget what you want. And Apartments.com will let you know when an apartment that matches what you want appears on the market.
From pet-friendly apartments to balconies to in-unit ACs, Apartments.com's powerful search tools let you know when the perfect combination of features you're seeking are listed. So you don't have to power through rental descriptions one by one. With more rental listings than anywhere else, Apartments.com's instant alerts mean you can spend less time online looking for the perfect place and more time doing you.
Apartments.com, the place to find a place.
Who is the hot guy sitting next to Brie Larson? Boyfriend, husband, somebody? The form.
Boyfriend, husband, somebody?
Hot guy. He is a hunk.
Like, too hot.
I thought her ex-boyfriend was hot too, but this is a different
no,
type of hot.
This is fully...
hunk. Hunk. Like a hunk.
This
hunk.
Is...
hunky.
Like me the moment I saw Brie Larson walking with this guy.
Yeah, like truly. Yes, that's it. Thank you. Talk your shit. Yeah, it's like, you know, like in a cartoon when like the tongue rolls out like the carpet and then somebody walks on it. That's like me when I saw Brie Larson's new boyfriend.
Like,
my tongue unrolled.
So Brie Larson is dating this guy named Elijah Allen Blitz. Alan Blitz! No, but he's American.
Elijah Allen Blitz.
Look. Look, I can make German jokes because I'm pretty sure if I did 23andMe, which I have not and will not do.
Don't do that.
It will
our friendship would end.
It will say
Bobby's no. ancestry would offend
my ancestry. No, I would get the results back and it would say 99% yikes. Is So Elijah Allen Blitz.
Okay.
Was on the red carpet with Brie Larson, and Brie Larson, who is honestly the most boring person alive.
I know. But still such a part of the Oscars. Like, it's so funny to me that because Brie Larson won an Oscar, that every year they're like, Brie Larson. Like, she is like, she is so entrenched in Oscar culture.
Mm-hmm.
So strange. So same with Rami Malek. Like, it's so funny, these people, because they win Oscars, then they're like in servitude of the Oscars mm-hmm. for their full careers.
Yeah, because like they owe a lot to them. Brie won her Oscar, which gave her the MCU stuff. And honestly, right. the MCU stuff means you never have to work again. Like, you are fine right. forever. Not
That's
that like
true.
These
That's
people
true.
Don't have like issues regarding like creative fulfillment. Of course,
when
they want to do their indie stuff. But whenever you. But when you are in the MCU stuff, then you have the freedom, financial freedom, to do the little stuff that you want to do,
true.
Which is the Kristen Stewart stuff. Like, right. Kristen Stewart is now so rich that she's like, yeah, I can do fucking Underwater and I can do Personal Shopper. Like, Natalie
fucking
Portman
underwater.
Is so rich that she could say, all I want to do is weird shit that is like
right.
80% bad, but 20% good. But at least the performances are always interesting. Like, they can all do this now.
When the three of them got up, when Gal Gadot and Brie Larson and who else got
and
up?
Sigourney Weaver.
We're like, women are superheroes. All women are superheroes.
There's a good good article by Caroline, what's her last name? God, I forgot
Framke.
It, but on Variety.
Framke.
Yes. Framke on Variety. That's really, really good about that. Yes.
It's just like, ugh. That was such like a dark moment, weirdly, mm-hmm. even though I know they programmed it to be otherwise. It was just like, women are superheroes,
yes.
and we can speak to that as women who are superheroes. And you're just like, oh my
and
God.
And that is like, ooh, that is Brie Larson's favorite place to be. Like,
yeah.
Raising awareness without actually putting in the work, no offense, but like, at least as far as I can tell.
Okay, can we go back to Elijah Allen Bilkey or whatever his last
okay.
name is?
So Bilke when you first Blitz. See this guy, remember he was, can you name, ooh, here's a pop quiz for you. Can you name her ex, the one that she was engaged to?
Yeah. Phantom Planet.
No, okay.
Alex Greenwald.
Okay.
Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Alex Greenwald.
Okay. Yeah, don't fucking
so
challenge
she,
me.
I remember the whole thing with Phantom Planet. She won the Oscar, and then immediately he was like, will you marry me?
Yeah. He was like, California.
And she said yes. And then she was like, wait, 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 wait.
And then she was like, she thought, all women are superheroes.
But especially me, and I can get a hotter guy because I am a superhero, literally. Right. So she meets this guy. Elijah Allen.
Maybe
Blitz.
I like Brie Larson. This
I'm
narrative
starting to
is
fall
working
in love
me.
With Brie Larson.
This narrative all of a sudden is working for me.
So these
okay, so
photos,
what happened?
These photos were published in the summer, and we didn't do anything with them because it was like, who gives a shit? I remember even
shit?
Thinking about this, and we were like, do we cover Brie Larson's new boyfriend? And you were like, hell no, or I was like, hell no, and we didn't cover it because who cares? And these photos, the first photos of them are amazing. They are
yeah.
eating each other's faces in a grocery store parking lot and coffee aisle. They're in the coffee aisle, Lindsay. They're making out in front of coffee. Do you see this?
Nothing gets Bobby hotter than Brie Larson and her unnamed boyfriend making out in the coffee aisle of a supermarket.
I love this caption. Elijah is an actor and virtual reality director. He and Brie have been pictured kissing in California.
No.
He and Brie have been pictured kissing in California.
Wait, he's a virtual reality director?
Yeah, so some people
what
call him a virtual reality director. Some people call him a virtual reality director for mindfulness teaching. So he does, it's like some sort of, it's like a therapeutic, he makes these like therapeutic videos for teaching people how to like meditate or something. I really
okay.
I'm doing a terrible job of explaining this because I couldn't like find the actual company that he works for, But
where did you find these descriptors of him?
Just all over. So these are just like scattered across all different publications.
Intense, hot,
mystery man, virtual reality director for mindfulness teaching, supporter of prison reform and former President Barack Obama, actor / new man.
New man.
So he's just this guy, I think, who just kind of floats through life based on his looks, not to be rude.
Wow.
But he seems to be afforded many opportunities based on his looks, where it's like, because it's like, he dated Maria.
He looks like Heath Ledger.
He looks like Heath Ledger
with Rupert Friend. The guy from Outlander or something.
I was going to say he looks like Heath Ledger mixed with Rupert Friend, but that works too.
Yeah.
Anyway, this guy was like, this is okay. So he's dating this hot guy who just vaguely works in the industry. I looked on his Instagram stories, and a recent story that had just been posted like 7 hours prior was he was in Maui with Josh Brolin celebrating Josh Brolin's birthday.
What?
So it's like,
how does he know Josh Brolin?
And the only connection I could find is that Josh Brolin is the star of the Endgame movie. He's like the villain.
Oh, so he must have done MCU something. This guy did something for MCU.
Or he just met him through Brie, you know?
Oh, maybe. You're
you know
right.
What I mean?
MCU, by the way, is Marvel.
Marvel Cinematic Universe.
For like people who don't know. Oh, Marvel Cinematic Universe. I'm like, Marvel Comics Universe. Okay, yeah.
Yes. So, but the
you
most
found the best thing about him.
My favorite thing about him is that he made headlines 4 years ago. Why?
Yeah.
Because he dated Maria Bello. 20 years his senior. Not that that matters, but it sort of is interesting. And
oh,
the only,
come on. It
but it's
matters.
The only reason it got
it matters
coverage.
To people. People was like, what? You know,
okay,
like,
but that's
their
not even good enough, right? Because like we're sort of used to, you know,
oh my God, the
older woman like reclaiming her youth and sexuality and dating the younger man, right? Okay.
Right.
But the real reason this got headlines is because it came right after her even more highly publicized relationship with this woman named Claire Munn.
She wrote about it in the New York Times.
She wrote about it in the New York Times because she was like, I date women now. And everyone was like, Maria Bello is bi. Like, Maria Bello is dating a woman. Like, yes, sexuality, iconic queen. Like, we love feminism. Like, yes.
And then she dumped
women.
And started dating.
For a
this
hump.
Is even. Wait, but did you see? She started dating the guy. Oh my God. She wrote a book about.
That's why I put that in here.
I'm screaming.
She was dating the woman. Then she got this guy to direct a promotional video for her book about how
about
love is
dating
love.
A woman.
And then
love
she was
love.
Like, hi, ha cha cha, boy, yoing. And then was like, goodbye, lady.
Well, she was like, love is love. And this cameraman is hot.
No, I mean, if anything, it proves her thesis.
Love is love.
Love is love. Love, it moves in mysterious ways. Sometimes you're into Claire, sometimes you're into Alan Blitz. And there are photos of all of them together that sort of like, I don't know what's happening in them.
This is so exciting for me. Like, he wasn't interesting at all until you were like, Maria Bello. That makes this fascinating. Oh, boy. I remember these photos. He's a hunk.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
All right. So he's a hunk who makes out in the coffee aisle with Brie Larson and used to date Maria
and not
Bello.
And not to use the term, but there's like significant BDE with this guy. And I hate using that term, but I do think it's worth saying in this particular instance.
For sure. Although I have to say he's not very tall.
That has nothing to do with it.
I'm just saying.
We're
calling
gait.
Him hunky, and he is hunky. But I just realized that I'm seeing these pictures of him kissing Brie Larson. He's not too tall.
He's California hunky. Let's be
he's
frank.
He's hunky.
He's California hunky.
Oh yeah, and of course she's dating this like ridiculous boy-oying hunk right after breaking up her engagement. You know, like this is the type of guy that you date after you break up your engagement.
Do we want to play a little Who or Them?
Yeah, we haven't done this in so long.
Okay, let's do it.
Is Andy Samberg a who or a them? I feel like he at one point was very, very cuspy as a them. But I think he's a who. That's just what I think. Let me know if you agree. Bye, my gay boys.
That's just what I think. Well, here's what I think. I think Andy Samberg's a them.
I think he's a them, too. I was just going to say, like, I think that he has crossed into themdom. He's the only Lonely Island boy that crossed into themdom.
And Andy Samberg, for a show, SNL has a history of, like, propping up these men who were all sort of cut from the same cloth, and that cloth is like dopey and stupid and silly, right. And they don't really last outside of it, but like somehow
Andy came from the post Will Ferrell SNL generation, mm-hmm. And they're not real generations, they're just SNL generations. So like when the cast fully turns over and it feels like a new kind of scene, I would say post Will Ferrell, Andy Samberg and like Lonely Island became the most important because of YouTube culture, because of the kind of stuff they were making, you know, the videos they were making, the type of like music parody stuff they were making. Andy Samberg is the face of Lonely Island, and they were kind of an important enough group to break out of the SNL and in a significant way. And he is, you're right, like kind of the nerdy.
It's like the anti Jimmy Fallon in a way, you know, like there's something, and it's not the same thing as Adam Sandler either, because like Sandler is still like an idiot. Like Adam Sandler's thing is still like, I'm a dork, I'm an idiot, like I'm a schlub.
Andy's a little bit more intellectual, I would say. Marrying
a little more buttoned up.
Marrying Joanna Newsom certainly adds to that like vibe about him that gives him a little bit of a more, because he is goofy, but it is a more but then there's kind of like a more, oh, this guy might be smart or something.
Yeah,
or
there's
whatever.
Something about Andy Samberg that's extremely surprising to me, and his longevity is surprising to me, but it's like
he's also very unproblematic. I mean,
everyone likes him,
right? Yeah.
Everyone, like, he seems like, and again, can't speak for Hollywood, but he seems like the type of guy that everyone in Hollywood likes. And also, his fandom, I mean, at least, like, anecdotally, based on, you know, what I see on Twitter, his fandom is, like, extremely diverse to me. Like, young people, old people, a lot of white people, but also non-white people. Like, I feel like people are endeared to him for some reason, whatever it is. You know what I mean?
I agree. I think he's one of those comedians that is by nature of the way that he makes comedy and what he makes comedy about, is avoiding a lot of the conversation that these people are falling into, which is like, you know, why is everybody comedies, you know, I'm edgy, blah, blah, blah. It's kind of the John Mulaney family of comedy. Like,
These are
like kind of the anti-Seinfeld guys who are not really concerned, or the anti-Dave Chappelle guys who aren't about pushing the envelope, who are trying to find ways to be funny without being offensive, because that's not part of their humor and never was.
Yeah. It's just like, and it's all relative.
Maybe not Seinfeld, but I'm more mean to, Dave Chappelle's a good one.
But it's just interesting to me that, like, when you look at Andy Samberg and when you sort of think about Andy Samberg's origin story, you're like, oh, this is a guy that will only appeal to early 20-something straight white guys. And it's, that's just not the case. And
right. He's beyond, you're right. It's weird.
Moving on. And also, that show is such a slow burn, and it's one of those weird shows that like was canceled, then it was brought back by another network and is doing well, and that never happens.
Well, it's weird. It's like, I don't know why now I'm thinking about John Mulaney. It's like John Mulaney's fandom is loud, but I wouldn't say that he is as famous as Andy Samberg.
No.
So it's like interesting, the kind of like Andy Samberg's just accepted as like, we like him. And John Mulaney, everyone's like, John Mulaney.
And I think
it's like, okay, we got it. John Mulaney. We got it.
Next call.
Hi, Lindsay and Bobby. Ray Romano, who are them? Crunch, crunch.
I love this. We've done this, but I'll do
them.
It again.
He's them. Them. One. We didn't do the countdown, but yeah, he's them.
I love him.
I'm looking at this list of people. I just like, I'm so mad at all of you.
Get ready for the next one.
Hi, Who Weekly, medium time, third or fourth time. I was watching TV and How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days was on. And they brought out at, like, the end party Martin Hamlisch. And I just was wondering if he's a who or a them. I just assumed he was a who, real world who, Broadway them. But then they brought him out in How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days, which was, like, kind of a big movie that was probably not meant for a Broadway crowd. Anyway, thank you. Crunch, crunch, women don't belong in balloons.
Marvin.
I only kind of remember that part, but the joke was that it was somebody like Marvin Hamlisch. Like that was the joke in the movie. I mean, Marvin Hamlisch is a songwriter. He worked with Barbra Streisand, right? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
on Funny Girl and all of her stuff. And so Marvin Hamlisch is like Barbra Streisand's best friend. But you only know that if you're a Barbra Streisand fan. Otherwise, Marvin Hamlisch is kind of the name you pull out if you're looking for a specific type of name, like to make a joke about. God. Right?
He also has an EGOT.
I mean, he's a big deal, but I would say you'd have to be over the age of something to know who Marvin Hamlisch is. Unless you're a big award show fan or a young Barbra Streisand fan, of which she has, you know, 10.
He's a composer. He does film scores. He wrote the music for some musicals as well.
Yeah.
I think his most iconic, but speaking of Barbra Streisand, his most iconic song, though,
is The Way We Were.
The Way We Were. Yeah.
Yeah.
No one doesn't know that song. Like, everyone knows that song.
He's also dead, so.
He's dead as hell.
Can we please move on?
But we didn't say who were them. One, two, three.
Who?
I no offense to Marvin Hamlisch.
Death. I know. Is he the most famous Marvin?
No, Marvin the Martian. The Martian is number one.
Then Marvin Hamlisch? No.
It's
Marvin Gaye.
Marvin Gaye is Marvin Gaye. There we go.
Marvin Gaye, Marvin the Martian, too. Marvin Hamlisch is Marv Albert is probably above Marvin Hamlisch. Also, Meatloaf is technically named Marvin, but we don't know him as Marvin. So this website, playback.fm, the most famous person named Marvin is Marvin Gaye. Then Meatloaf. Then it's Marv Minsky.
No, that doesn't count because we don't know him as Marvin.
I know, but who's Marv Minsky? Then Marvin Harris. Who's Marvin Harris? Oh, the DJ? Isn't that Calvin Harris? Who's Marvin Harris?
If you don't know them by their name, Marvin, then it doesn't count as the most famous Marvin.
He was a very famous anthropologist. Okay. And then Marvin Hamlisch comes in at number 5.
Point is, The Martian and Gaye are more famous than him. He is a who next call.
The Martian's not even on here.
Well, yeah, that's okay. Because they're being rude.
Hi, Who Weekly. I have a question. Is Drew Carey a who or a them? He was just the second person unmasked on Masked Singer, which would make me think he is definitely a who. But Lil Wayne was unmasked first, so have there been two thems unmasked on the Masked Singer? I need to know. Crunch, crunch, Rita's leggy pin-pins. Bye.
This is a traumatizing question, considering that this was the first Masked Singer that I got incorrect, and the last. I will never get another one incorrect. This was an oversight by me. Sorry. I fucked up.
Who did you think it was?
I know. Danny Bonaducci. The clues did line up, and that was a perfect person. Drew Carey, though, and they're really going for it because Lil Wayne, a big get for Masked Singer, and so is Drew Carey, who I think is a them.
Yeah, one, two, three, them. Yeah,
he's
a them.
I think he's
Price
a them.
Is right, host. Drew Carey's show.
I love that I said he was a them, and then you had to count down for yourself.
Yeah, but like had a long time show with his name in it that last that was really popular that is still syndicated.
Price is Right host, syndicated comedy
Whose
show.
Line is it anyway? Like, this guy was everywhere for a long time, and he's still around. So it's like it was one thing for him to be sure he's definitely a 2001 them, but. The fact that he's maintaining that popularity is like, oh, it just proves it. He's remaining
and he was on the Masked Singer. The Masked Singer has some thems on it this season, from my guesses. And my guess was not Drew Carey, but he is a them.
Okay, next call. I'm sorry you got one wrong.
Skits, okay. I'll get over it. Skip this, please.
Lamb Chop? I can skip Lamb Chop?
Yeah.
Really quickly, Lamb Chop them. Okay.
I don't know why I'm overcome with the need to know the answer to this, but Samantha Ronson, who are them? Crunch, crunch.
One, two, three, them. I mean, who?
Is the definition of a who.
Samantha Ronson walked so Kristen Stewart could run.
Truly.
Samantha Ronson was a groundbreaking lesbian. Groundbreaking.
Just the, one of the first buzzy club lesbians of the modern age.
Because, you know, when Samantha Ronson was, like, out and proud, like, fucking a lot of famous women.
Yeah.
That was sort of a little unheard of, you know? Like,
totally.
And it wasn't all that long ago, but, like, it was scandalous for...
Totally.
I mean, you know, it was gay shit. Gay shit was
Lindsay Lohan's only stable relationship in her whole life.
No one knew what to do. do with this woman? And they were like, right. Oh my God. And it was like, you know, and because she was gay, she was sort of like vilified too. It's like, oh, she's turning right. women, blah, blah, blah. There was a whole lot of right. nastiness surrounding her. Right. Also, but it's like, but the thing about Samantha Ronson is, Samantha Ronson, it took someone like her, who is this like artsy fartsy child of very rich people, who can mm-hmm. who kind of has the freedom to do whatever the fuck she wants, and that was her whole appeal. She was like, I'm a DJ, I make music, like my family's famous, my brother is cool as hell, and mm-hmm. I live in New York, like blah 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 blah. Like, she was just cool as hell, and like we were talking about cult leaders, she's just this very magnetic person.
And now she lives like a really quiet, a relatively quiet life. Like she's in a band called Ocean Park Standoff. So that's kind of a thing that she does for music. And I don't know. I mean, she just, she posts Instagram sometimes. I don't know. Like, a lot of TBTs, a lot of pictures of her sisters. The Ronsons are very successful. Like, across the board. She still DJs. She did a Spotify event. I mean, she was kind of, you know, she was kind of early on the buzzy DJ thing. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's cool, but she's definitely a who, but she was extremely, extremely influential.
Totally.
And people of a certain age, aka the elder millennials, are permanently endeared to her.
Totally.
Anyway, Samantha Ronson rules. God, someone's going to call and be like, Samantha Ronson did this, like killed a rabbit once. And I'm like, I don't know.
Killed a rabbit once?
I don't know.
Yeah, no, it'll be like, yeah.
Next call. Let's do like one more, two more.
Yeah.
Do not want to do Malin Ackerman. Do not want to do James Marsden again. We've definitely done James Marsden like 8 times.
Hello. First time caller, medium time listener. My boyfriend saw Craig Robinson in the grocery store at the Ralph's in Palms in LA. So he says he did not take a picture because he said, I'm not going to take a picture of a B-list actor. Which started an argument. So is Craig Robinson a who or a them? Crunch, crunch.
This is tough because of The Office, and I feel like The Office is just like, whatever. But let's see what we say. Craig Robinson. 1, 2, 3. Who?
Who?
He's very recognizable.
He's part of that group of guys.
He's part of the group of guys, and also he's part of the group of people on The Office. Like, I think that, like, The Office doesn't really have any thems apart from Steve Carell and John Krasinski.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even Jenna Fischer, poor right. thing. Like, sorry, sweetie.
Poor thing. Well, she's Pam, you know? That's the real Pam. She's Pam. It's like, oh,
yeah,
Pam.
And he's Daryl. So right. it's, and I didn't even watch The Office. And wow. I know he's Daryl.
Wow, what are you? Do you hate Gen Z? What are you, some kind of Gen Z hater?
But yeah, he's a who. He's definitely recognizable, but I think he's definitely like one of those guys.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those guys.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I saw Craig Robinson on the street, I'd be like, oh, I do the snap. I'd be like,
yeah. Oh, well, I think I would know who it was.
Craig, no, but it would come to me. It would come to me.
He's funny in, what's the movie where
they're
all
playing
themselves?
If you say Hot Tub Time Machine, I'm going to scream.
And it's the end of the world. No, they're all playing themselves and it's the end of the world.
Isn't it called The End of the World? Or...
The end. It's the end.
The
this
end.
Is the end.
The end.
This is the end.
This is the end. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's in that, right? But if I saw what's her name, Angela Kinsey, I'd be like,
stop.
And then
snapping.
It would never come to me. It would
you
never
just
come
go
to
into
me.
Her. You stop her. You go right into her face and just start snapping in her face before she till she said her name.
I go, but then I go to Melora Hardin and I'm like, Melora Hardin, sing for me, sing for me. That reminds me, great song, Christina Aguilera, Sing For Me. Remember Lotus?
Okay.
remember Lotus? Do you remember Lotus?
No. Lotus theme. Only the Lotus theme.
Lotus intro. No. Lotus parentheses intro.
Lotus
we are
intro.
Done for today. Stay listening after the credits for a really iconic call. You're doing amazing, sweetie. You always have to listen after the credits. You got to know. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling in at 619-WHO-THEM. Support us on patreon.com/WhoWeekly for weekly bonus episodes and, you know, 4 times a week, little daily mini episodes that typically involve them.
Wow,
so they
wow,
don't
wow, wow, wow. What
wow,
a
so
deal.
Much. $5 a month. Amazing. Follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That'd be so, so lovely. Support our sponsors and... Have a weekend.
Good day. Yeah.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day. It's happy Valentine's Day. We didn't even say that.
Oh, happy Valentine's Day.
To the sky, I rise. Spread my wings and fly. I leave the past behind and say goodbye to the scared child inside. I sing for freedom and for love. I look at my reflection, embrace the woman I've become. The unbreakable lotus in me, I now set free.
They wanna know.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey.
Mia.
Hey. I want to be famous.
Nothing but a t-shirt on. Never felt so beautiful as I do now. Now that I'm with who?
Crunch, crunch.
Today's episode of Who Weekly is brought to you by the CW. Watch new episodes of Katie Keene on Thursdays at 8, 7 Central or stream free next day on the CW app.